knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
Need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes that sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk just a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Jordan. Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
Well. Jordan.
Yes, sir.
I've been noticing a bit of stagnation on Alex's part.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like because we're a show that talks about Alex and, you know, we kind of have to just go along with whatever he does, a lot of the times it leads to our content maybe feeling a little stagnant too. Because if the source material is iffy,
right,
then I mean, you know, if it's a, you know, the same thing over and over again.
No, of course, it's repetitive.
It leads us into a situation where, like, well, if we're covering a repetitive thing, sometimes it could tend to get repetitive.
Sure.
And so I was trying to brainstorm and think about ways around this, and one of the things that I considered was, you know,
murder.
You nailed it.
Damn it.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about, like, things that we did in the past that maybe we could do again to try and liven things
juice
up.
We get that juice.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we can't do that with Alex, we'll do it without him.
Yeah.
And
So
in that spirit, you don't even know this.
I don't even know this.
I would like to announce that we have a phone number again.
No, God.
Yep.
Didn't we always have a phone number?
No,
we just never checked it?
No, back then I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Back then we were doing
that's
so
right.
terribly financially
yeah.
that
yeah,
I couldn't afford the Skype number. So neon nips went away.
I enjoy our measurement of success now is we can afford a phone line.
It's $50 for a year, and I couldn't afford it back then. But there's a lot of things in terms of the show that I would like to be able to do more of, which
sure.
is, including some perspectives of folks outside of you and I.
Of course.
We are both, cis white men and, if there are people who have other lived experiences, I would love for their voices to be able to be heard on the show. But at the same time, there is not really room for guests
on
this show.
It is tough.
It's kind of like we're trapped here and bringing anyone else in isn't fair or right.
It's like, you know how sometimes somebody's on one of those shows and they're like, obviously they've never listened to the show before. And everybody's like, okay, you're not caught up.
Yeah.
That would be like our show, but you have to listen to 450 episodes.
That's a
to
problem.
Get caught up.
And then I just dread the idea of sitting next to somebody and them being like, why do you do this? And me being like, I don't know. I don't have an answer. Or why does anyone listen to this? Can't tell you.
I don't know.
So the other voices than ours are something that I've always wanted to be able to incorporate better. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I always thought was kind of difficult about that was the idea of someone writing in and us reading.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
But then also some people just like probably to make some dumb jokes. And I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So if people want to call and leave voicemails.
All right.
Our new phone number.
Here we go.
Is 1 for the country code.
Yes.
For the United States.
No, we got that.
773. Got a Chicago.
That's Chicago.
Area code.
All day, every day.
It's really difficult to get things that spell out words.
Yeah, that's tough.
So I had to go through a lot
of
phone
words.
Numbers. Trying to put them into anagram discoverers and
you
stuff.
You had a great day playing Boggle.
And I wish that I was a child because I found a phone number that was 773 up penis.
Ooh, so Dan.
Like, I can't do
Dan,
it.
Dan.
I can't
Dan,
do it. It's also U.S. penis.
Now that I can't say no to.
I can't do it.
Us penis. It, not me, us penis.
If
Dan.
I was a child, perhaps. one of the other phone numbers that was in the running was Alps Bro.
Alps Bro?
Yeah, because I'm a mountain
guy. I don't like Alps Bro. No.
And what we've landed on is 773 Tat Guys, because we both have tattoos.
We do both have tattoos.
TAT Guys. So oh, God. Now my sign on every episode is going to be, hello, welcome to the show. We're the Tat Guys.
Get out of here. No, you're fired. You're fired. Now my answer is murder.
Okay.
That's the situation.
So yeah, if you're out there listening and you're thinking, like that you'd like to, leave a message, I can't promise that we'll play all of them on the show, given that there may be a bunch. I have no idea how many people will call and leave messages, but you are welcome to do that.
See, where we get into trouble is then we're like, we gotta listen to some voicemails. So then we do our show and we're like, oh, we didn't have time to get to voicemails today. We're turning into our own nightmare.
Maybe that'll be our running bet.
That'll be great.
All right. So I got us a phone number. What's your bright spot?
Tat Bros. I also got us a phone number. This is very much
Tat Guys.
This is a...
Don't confuse people.
That's what I'm saying. I got Tat Bros. This is a O. Henry-like situation, Dan.
Oh, no.
It's a gift of the Magi circumstance.
No, you'd have to have some sort of a gift for me that gets rid of a phone number. Yes. Or taking away people's phones.
I ended electricity, Dan.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That would be a gift.
That would be a gift.
No, it wouldn't.
The new album by Washed Out is fantastic.
Okay.
It's really, really good. I had the chance to... I think it came out last Friday. And I had a chance to do a real deep listen today. Mm. Fantastic album. Really great.
Awesome.
Do you know who Washed Out is?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Nope. It's like chill wave.
Okay.
It's that kind of... Okay, let me give you an idea of what it sounds like.
Wah, 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 wah,
yeah, okay, Keanu Reeves just had a bad situation happen in his life.
Sure.
He's on a bus or he's walking.
Mm-hmm.
Looking into the middle distance, some Washed Out starts playing.
What era... Keanu Reeves. Like current Keanu Reeves or like Sweet November?
2005.
Okay, so a little bit after Sweet November.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, yeah, yeah. Whenever he, post-Matrix, pre-Other Good Things.
Mm.
When he was in the Lost Days.
Mm-hmm. When did the Walk in the Clouds
bridge,
come out?
And you get to the bridge and he makes a decision and then the same song is playing, but he's moved on with his life and everybody's happy again.
Okay.
It's the same song.
That doesn't help me. I'll check them out.
All right.
If it's good, I'll enjoy it.
You'll listen to it and understand what I'm saying.
Perhaps.
Immediately.
So, Jordan, today we got an episode to go over. Interesting stuff, somewhat. There's something really funny at the end, so we'll get excited for that. we're going to be covering the period of August 7th to 9th, 2020. I'm Dan. I'm a Tat Guy, and this is 2020.
This is just going to get so long. by the end of 2020, it's going to be an hour-long intro.
It may be.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got the weekend to go over. Alex did a show on Saturday, Sunday, so we got that business to go over.
Gotcha.
But before we do that, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who signed up and are supporting the show.
Oh, that'd be great.
So first, Greg G. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Next, Ollie. That's O-L-I-E. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thank you. Next, Chris R. That's K-R-I-S. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Next, James W. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you. Next, Bob. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Bob.
Next, Andrew S. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Next, Jonathan T. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Jonathan T. Thomas,
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah.
The guy from Man of the House and Tool Time.
There you go.
What was that show?
Home Improvement. Yeah.
Crazy
Tool
blank.
Tool Time, yeah.
Next, William D. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, William.
No one on Home Improvement.
Nobody on. Was that the neighbor?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Next, George W. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
That one should be easier.
Nope, no,
should be easier for you.
Nope. Refuse.
Thank you so much, George.
Thank you very much, George.
If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoy the show. I'd like to support with these gents. You can do that by going to our website, knowledgefights.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it. Or you could take that generosity, lay it down on a pan, cover it in marinara.
Marinara?
A little bit of mozzarella.
Are we making a charity lasagna?
Making a pizza. We're going to deliver it under 30 minutes. To a charity in your area, help people in need.
A wise man said, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Is that Splinter from the Ninja Turtles?
That's Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that was one of the times that Splinter made a funny.
I believe there's at least three.
I don't remember. Yeah, I haven't seen those movies in a long time. So, Jordan, we're going to get on to this episode.
Sure.
But before we do, we have a little bit further business to go over.
Right.
And that is to take a little peek into the mailbag Z.
All right.
This is from Charles W.
Okay.
I'd like to thank him and also say I'm scared. Because he sent a 12-pack of these.
A 12-pack?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
One flavor. These are birch tree water seltzers. So these, okay. This is tree water, my friend.
Tree water.
Yes.
Sap. Mm-hmm. Birch tree water, and in parentheses, sap, as though...
I think sap's like, just the name
like
of the brand.
No, I think it means sap.
I don't think it's...
Okay.
You don't cork a tree and then get water
Why
out of
not?
It.
Why not?
Because that's not what comes out.
Then
maybe it is. I don't know.
What's the point of dreams?
I'm not a fucking arboreum guy. Okay. Whatever it... Arbor right. guy?
Arboretum guy?
Right.
Oh, okay.
773 Arbor guy. Our other phone number. So, yeah, this is also dovetailing into the year of the...
All right.
So, yeah, strawberry habanero is the flavor, which is a little bit terrifying.
Interesting.
But I'm excited to give it a try.
Smells pretty good. It smells pretty good. I'm going to have a taste myself here.
Nom, 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 nom. All right. That's not spicy.
No, that's just good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm not even positive
is
I get any habanero from that.
No, I don't get any habanero.
I'm noticing something with seltzers, and that is that the level to which they're fizzy varies greatly.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Most of them that I've had that are like really good tend to have the very light fizziness.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of fizz.
And then the ones that you get, the sort of mainstream seltzers, the La Croix, Polar, great.
Sure,
but those are more fizzy. Those are the ones that, those are your everyday seltzers.
Right.
The ones that are more along the lines of some of the classier ones. Speaking of which, I've tried those Sanzos that got sent to us, and I gotta say, mind blowing.
Well,
only in the sense that the calamansi was one of the flavors.
I've heard of a calamansi.
The other two flavors were lychee and mango, which were like, I've had lychee when I was younger. I know the flavor ish.
You get the gist.
I know what a fucking mango is.
You know,
I don't know what a calamansi
is. It's like a thing.
You don't know what a
calamansi is. It's like a melon.
You don't know what a fucking
it's
calamansi is.
It's a melon.
Is it?
I think I literally...
Gun to your head, what's a calamansi?
I genuinely think I just saw this on a cooking show two hours ago.
I don't think you did. I don't think it's a melon. I have no idea. I didn't look it up, but it's great. 81 out of 100 for
81
the calamansi.
81 out of 100.
Yep, spectacular.
Damn. I'm going to give this sap a high score. I think this sap is really good.
I might, too. I need to sit with it for a little while, though. Mm-hmm. I need to think on it. It tastes pretty good, though.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Charles.
Yes, thank you very much, Charles.
All right, Jordan, let's get down to business.
Yes, sir.
This episode on the 7th sucks.
Okay.
August 7th is utter trash.
Okay.
It doesn't belong on the air.
All right.
It is pointless. Most of it is just Alex rambling about how Trump had come out and said, this might be the last time you see me.
Sure. Yeah, great.
And Alex has decided that this is Trump raising the bat signal.
Okay.
And he keeps saying that.
Right.
The first half hour of his fucking show is about that.
So I have a lot of enemies out there. This may be the last time you'll see me for a while. A lot of very, very rich enemies, but they are not happy with what I'm doing. But I figure we have one chance to do it, and no other president's going to do what I do. No other president would do a favored nations, a rebate, a buy from other nations at much less cost. Nobody. And there are a lot of unhappy people, and they're very rich people, and they're very unhappy.
So he's telling you, we got one shot to save the country. They may kill me. Then I've got a stack of news here where they're saying we're going to kill him. We're going to remove him. We're going to use the military on him. And if the cabinet doesn't go along with it, we're going to put them in prison.
None of those articles say what Alex says they do, but this is huge for Alex. It's most of his attention is on this. And
see, I just thought I heard
boring.
A shit ton of lies in a very short span of time, but apparently that was him announcing that he was going to die soon.
Yeah.
All right.
I heard a really weird dude say something weird.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I heard
a creepy old man lie to my face about bullshit.
Yeah. So that takes up a lot of Alex's attention, and I find it incredibly boring, and I don't care. It will be used in order to escalate, like, you gotta do something.
Sure.
Kind of talk, obviously, but
they're coming for him.
Yeah, but it's not organic in the beginnings of, on the 7th at least.
Remember when Roger Stone got polonium poisoning?
A couple times.
I think we're right about there.
Oh no, they tried to T-bone him too.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other thing that's on Alex's mind is this New York Attorney General, of course, who has filed suit against the NRA and some of the leadership of the NRA.
Right.
Alex happens to be friends with the creepiest, weirdo, gross, asshole monster who's involved with the NRA, and that's Ted Nugent.
Yep.
And so he has Ted Nugent come on and talk about it.
No.
I believe that the attacks on the NRA are the attacks on freedom by freedom haters, and we all see and know who they are. Right now is the time to give away NRA memberships to everybody you know, because if it drives the freedom haters that batty, let's make them go crazy by getting more NRA.
And how do I do that? I'm going to buy 100 memberships today. I pledge 100 memberships today. How do I call? Do I call? And how does the NRA do that?
So then Nugent plugs his website where people can buy NRA memberships.
No, of course.
And I mean, like, I don't know.
Did they not get that the problem here was that the NRA was taking people's money and then using it on themselves?
Yeah.
So by doing this, you're just essentially, like, that's the problem.
Yep.
No, that's not the way to protest.
So the problem is financial malfeasance, and I really think that the solution is flooding them with cash.
I gotta give them a bunch more money. I just can't think of any other way to solve this problem.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, boy.
Cool, that's good.
America's smart, dude. Yep.
So Alex gets into complaining about generals talking shit about Trump.
Right.
Like, there was one of them who was along for the photo shoot outside of the White House where they went to that church where Trump held the Bible weird and they beat up a bunch of protesters beforehand.
Yeah, it was a good time.
And afterwards, he's like, I shouldn't have done that. Alex isn't happy about that, dude. He's complaining about these generals a little bit, and then he takes a harsh pivot. Real weird.
Okay.
I said to you weeks before, I said, if the SecDef and the chairman and others start shooting off their mouths against El Presidente, that means they're signaling to the big boys, the big powerful globalists that sold us out, that they're scared. They want to keep that $10 million job they got coming when they leave office. They want to keep all those deals. They want to sell us out to the Chi-Coms because they're wimps. They might have been tough back when they were in Vietnam or when they were Green Berets, but they ain't tough no more. Because they get a little thing in the mail. Hey, General Milley or whoever, we know about your mistress that lives a mile from your house. Oh, hey, guess what, Milley? We know about it too, buddy boy. I'm going to burn down Oprah Winfrey politically, and I'm going to burn all you down before I'm done. And I don't care what you do to me. I'll burn every one of you. So just go ahead and punch your button up and send some illegal team to kill me. I don't give a freaking hell, because there are some people in this country that aren't cowardly scum like you. Oprah Winfrey is a pedophile. Oprah Winfrey likes girls, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. She hangs out with Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, not anymore, but I mean, no one hangs out with
Says you.
Well, apparently Steve Pachenik does believe Epstein is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a weird pivot into from the generals into yelling about Oprah.
Yeah.
Alex has been talking about Oprah a bit lately. Uh-huh. Not like in any depth, but
are we still doing Oprah? Is that a thing we're still doing?
He is doing. Okay. It's been like over the last couple days before this, he'd brought her up a couple times, like, man, I don't complain about her as much as I used to.
Yeah, that's
that
fair.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And almost nostalgic.
I took notice of it, but I was like, what is it? Why? What? You're just like, I used to complain about her a lot. Now I don't. Okay, well, I guess we're getting back into it.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's like he could randomly pick a day to criticize Whoopi Goldberg again, because there are two things that they have in common that he hates.
True.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he does complain about her, but usually more Joy Behar when it comes to The View.
Yeah.
Because Alex claims that Joy Behar tried to have sex with him when he went on The View. And whatever.
All right. I thought he just loved Sister Act so much.
Nope.
Okay.
So this is the last clip that I have from the 7th, because like I said, it is a garbage show. And when he announced this guest, I was like, no.
And we got Dr. Andrew Wakefield joining us.
No.
Huge developments on forced inoculation that are now all out in the open.
So, yeah, he's got Andrew Wakefield coming on to talk shit about vaccines.
Still free?
I don't know.
I feel like he should be in jail for something,
I don't
right?
know.
For something.
Well, I mean, he had Del Bigtree on just a couple days before
this.
The two of them are associates. It's clearly some sort of a coordinated vax campaign that's going on. And quite frankly, I didn't actually look into this. I probably should have. But, so I don't know if Big Tree has any association with it. But Andrew Wakefield's kind of promoting a new film he's putting out.
No.
And so, I mean, Andrew Wakefield and Del Bigtree work together on Vaxxed.
Sure.
That's the only reason I'm like, well, maybe that is actually like they're related in this. I'm going to look that up.
Do it.
I just checked on IMDb. I have no idea. There's not even a page for this documentary yet. Quote unquote documentary. So anyway, yeah, Andrew Wakefield's on. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I do not have time or respect for his opinions. We've already talked about him in the past.
I think somebody who's done that much damage in his life should not be allowed to just be on the radio.
It's a mess.
You know?
Yeah. So we get to the 8th, Saturday. Alex comes in for an emergency broadcast.
Gotta do it.
And here's how he sets things up.
We're going to be commercial free for the next 2 hours going out on our TV and radio satellites with, I know, hundreds of thousands of people tuning in right now.
Alex leaves an hour and a half into this.
Well, he's got
plays a half hour of special reports.
Oh man.
So real quick, just a little bit of a content warning, talk about child abuse and those sorts of issues coming up. So if you're sensitive about those things, please tread carefully. Alex has decided that he's going to do most of this Saturday show about Oprah Winfrey. And a particular...
Hold on 1 second. What did you just say?
Yeah, it's mostly about Oprah Winfrey.
Oh.
And it's about a particular misrepresentation that he's making that is monstrous and really disgusting.
When I was reading about Oprah Winfrey and all the reports that have come out over the years of her and not just being a lesbian, we're not judging her for that.
Sounds like
I wanted to hide behind that. But her being into underage girls. Well, then you have her hanging out with Harvey Weinstein, best friends with him. You have her hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. You have her hanging out with Bill and Melinda Gates at Harvey Weinstein's and at Jeffrey Epstein's. And you have now people are digging into all the weird speeches she's given. Hold on to your horses here. I'm going to play it in a moment.
You get a car.
With her saying children enjoy being molested.
So this is a real gross misrepresentation of what she was saying.
Uh-huh.
This is part of an interview that she did in September 2019 with three of the now adults who have accused Michael Jackson of sexual abuse.
Sure.
And so they're having this interview, and it's in the context of the difficulty that survivors of abuse have surrounding their memories about it, and physical sensations can feel good,
right.
That you experience even though it's a victimization.
Right.
You don't have the language to understand that at the time.
Right.
And it's also a part of the conversation that she's having of the victimizer will make the person that they are victimizing feel good.
Yes.
Attention and the grooming behaviors are designed in order to make you feel good, which makes it very difficult as you get older to put things into the proper context as you grow and you heal. It's honestly monstrous. I have no words for how disgusting this is for Alex for a number of reasons. I mean, one of them is that Alex yells about Hollywood abusers all the time. Mm. And this is Oprah giving a platform to people who have accused someone in Hollywood, someone very powerful in Hollywood of abuse. So why is he, he just doesn't want to seed the ground or something? Or it's because it invalidates his entire argument about everybody but him and Trump being into abusing children.
I mean, and no, you can deny the argument, or you can go headlong into it and just fucking attack it from the front. You know, like, of course she's talking to victims. They're giving them a platform that Alex doesn't fucking do at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's a monster, and she's trying or something, you know? So you can either be like, no, she's faking it and doing all of this stuff and all of that. Or you can just go straight on and not even just fuck it. She's doing it.
Yeah, you can take the little clip that makes it sound like she's encouraging abusing children or some shit. And it's disgusting. And I find it abhorrent. And it's a lot of this episode. The Saturday is a lot of this.
That's fucked.
And that makes me like really not want to cover it because it's, you know, it's beyond the pale for me. Like I just, there is a line and this is about where it's at for me. And the other thing that's really fucked up is like, Milo Yiannopoulos literally said those things on Rogan's podcast.
How did it go?
It went bad for his career.
Uh-huh.
But he was on Alex's show on March 12th of this year.
That's cruel.
I hate this
guy. That's cruel.
Fucking hate this guy.
It's cruel.
Yep. So that makes it really shitty when Alex says stuff like this because, I mean, it's just an outright lie.
We're going to destroy Oprah Winfrey because she deserves it. She's a dirty pedophile supporter, bare minimum. And we're going to go after everybody here. And we're going to take the gloves off. And like my buddy said, Rob, we're going to put the brass knuckles on. So the other day I said during the break, I said, I'm taking the gloves off. He said, and then you need to put the brass knuckles on. And that's right. We're at a point now where I'm not just going to sit here and fight you with my bare fist. I'm going to put the brass knuckles on. That doesn't mean I'm going to exaggerate or I'm going to lie. But it means when I hit you, I'm going to hit you to break your ribs and break your jaw and knock your eyes out of your teeth to put your ass on the ground.
It does mean you're going to exaggerate and lie, but that's not even brass knuckles. That's just doing anything.
Yeah.
You can't not exaggerate
that's
and
all
lie.
Your, yeah, that's your life.
Yeah.
It's your daily. It's you wake up in the morning.
Meaningless fucking bully talk nonsense.
Yeah.
We'll put on brass knuckles. Fuck you.
Could you puff your chest up a little bit for me?
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem was he's going too small.
Yeah.
I need
real
bigger.
Small.
I need bigger out of him, you know?
So, Alex, you know, he's in this space where the globalists are making their move. They're about to take out all the patriots and all that. And Alex kind of realizes, if you listen to this clip, it's pretty clear that he realizes, like, I've said this shit 1,000 times in the past. Why would anyone believe me?
But every second I'm thinking, what do we do to expose the deep state coup? What do we do to expose their operation? What do we do to warn America that this isn't like the past attacks, that we're just probing and conditioning us to stand down? When they do outrageous stuff, this is the big attack. This is the big takedown. This is the big move. Well, the biggest thing you can do is raise the alarm. The globalists are more afraid of this show than any other. And I don't say that on a power trip. Tucker Carlson is very riveting, very populist. He does an amazing job. But he's unable to get into the really hardcore stuff that we are. And he recognizes that.
Yeah, because people just ignore you and he would get sued and his advertisers would go away.
Now you understand it. Yes. Yeah. I think Alex gets that.
Yeah, I think he gets that. And this whole framing is so stupid. Just this like, hey, you know, I said it's the big one a bunch of times, but this is the real big one. And now the only thing that you can do is promote my show because the globalists are so scared of it.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Now, I know I've told you it's the big one a bunch in the past, but now it actually is. And I give you one outlet, me.
Yeah. Here's my problem. When we have nursery rhymes that correctly outline the problem and the solution, adults should not fall for it. Do you know what I mean?
I think there are two of them, right?
Yeah,
I
mean,
there's Chicken Little, Boy Who Cried Wolf.
There's tons of them. How do adults not be like, oh, I remember the nursery story that I heard when I was 4.
Nope.
And I have decided that I will ignore that dumb child.
Alex is getting bitten by that snake right now.
Good.
Now, we know from past experience that Alex is an enemy of QAnon.
Sure.
Alex hates QAnon.
Well, if they
but also it. Tried to co-opt it in the past, and then it didn't work, and he got mad at them, thinks it's full of shit.
Yeah.
And then he sold a bumper sticker that said, I am Q.
Yeah.
And then threatened to expose the people who were doing Q at the beginning, and then never did it. He gave them a week, and then nothing happened to that.
I do like the arbitrary, I'm holding you hostage angle on this.
And then not following through at all because you're a dumb liar.
I sent the finger, but I forgot the return address, so they don't really know where to contact us. So I'll just deal with it some other time, honestly.
Well, there's a new development in QAnon land.
Uh-huh.
Alex might be into it now.
Okay.
I told you I know who set up QAnon a few years ago. One person's been in U.S. intelligence. The other person works for Trump. It was their idea. It got taken away from them. They got pissed about it. They told me that. Then it became this anti-Israel thing. But then it got taken away from those people and became like a real movement against the pedophile rings and the New World Order. So I said a few months ago, I guess about 3 months ago, we put a sticker out saying, I'm with Q. Be careful who tries to get you to do stuff. Make sure you know who you're working with. But the idea of citizens getting involved and exposing conspiracy in the New World Order is a good thing. I said about 3 months ago, I think it's becoming something positive. It was started good because they looked at how I put out stuff against Hillary and WikiLeaks and how I got attacked, how I got sued, how I got all those things that happened.
They were positive towards me, so I liked them.
And they said, how do we put out stuff about spirit cooking and devil worship and the child kidnapping rings and the New World Order and the deep state and not get hurt? Well, we do it through 4chan and 8chan.
Right, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Now is a really good time to be like, hey, what's going on with the Wayfair story, Alex? You followed up on that one, Alex?
Yeah, no, it's done. They got him. Yeah. They got him.
This is just so pathetic. And actually, I honestly know exactly what's going on. I knew immediately what was going on.
Yeah.
And he even spells it out for us in this next clip, basically.
Now it's gotten so huge and so grassroots that I guess the original creators of it thought it had failed, but then it got even more successful, so I'm all for it. And the left's really upset about it. But if you're a Q person, you should watch Arlington Road and learn how they'll trick you to crash a train into a ship,
sure,
pull a truck up in front of the Hoover
Arlington
Dam,
Road,
and how they'll use globalist operatives to make you think you're with Q and make you think you're with secret agents and getting orders to go do things, and that is not the case.
Arlington Road's a documentary, Jordan.
It's a documentary.
So what's going on here is that Alex, I think, rightly recognizes the Q is so fucking nonsensical now. There's so many offshoots and different groups, and totally, a bunch of people are being kicked off social media to the point where there's going to be rampant decentralization,
uh-huh,
and he's going to be able to snipe some of the audience.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yes.
I get my little piece of the pie.
Yeah. And I can try and create this dumb narrative of like, I know who started it and now it's back on the right track and now I can be on board with it. He's just trying to co-opt it again.
How many Q coups have we dealt with?
Apparently two.
At least two Q coups. At least two Q coups.
Yeah. Well, so they were the original people who were like Trump and intelligence people.
Right. Why not?
And then it got taken away from them.
Yes.
By who?
Not important.
No one knows.
Not important.
Given,
how did it get taken away from them?
To some anti-Israel people.
Right.
Unspecific who those people are.
So did they just steal the keys or
was
the building unlocked? Is it squatters' rights?
Then someone took it from them.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Well, I assume it was the pro-Israel people. Someone took it from them.
This is bad even as a fake story.
Yeah.
Like, even if I was reading this as fiction, I would find this boring.
Yeah, that's not good.
And it's not real. So, that's the end of the eighth for us because, I mean, there's nothing. It's mostly him yelling about Oprah.
Okay.
And I don't have time for it.
Are we
don't
mad
care.
At Oprah again?
He
Why?
Is. He is.
Why?
Well, because one of his interns found that stupid clip from her interview and decided we could take this out of context and make it look like she supports child abuse.
It's so good when your only job as a researcher is to just check blogs to see what other idiots have posted and then steal it.
Yeah, just cruise 4chan and Reddit, find something on some sort of toxic board and like, oh, we can make
that's great.
We could get attention for this.
That's easy stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we get in on the 9th on Sunday, and Alex is back on the Trump said that you might not see me for a while.
Uh-huh.
That's a bit of what's going on.
Okay.
And then, man.
Is Oprah going to kill him?
No. Oprah is not really all
Oprah's
that
Oprah's on the
play.
Back bench again. Okay. Okay. We just had a good day of
Saturday
Oprah.
Saturday was Oprah day.
Uh-huh.
Sunday,
okay.
We rest.
Okay.
There's a headline at Gateway Pundit. Rumors swirling. President Trump's recent actions indicate something huge is about to happen. And Gateway Pundit has been around for a while, but it's really become central in D.C. And Trump, I can tell you, looks at it every few hours. And so when they tell you that, you can put your money on it. And, you know, they call it rumors so they can protect their sources. I can tell you that. These are not rumors. Facts are swirling or blasting out of a giant active volcano. Or firing out of the barrel of a machine gun.
No, like, peaceful metaphors?
Facts are swirling.
Swirling facts!
Swirling facts.
I'd like to remind you that Gateway Pundit hired Jacob Wall.
Yeah, because he's great!
All right.
Nobody can hide his tracks better than a Jacob Wall.
Yeah, you know? Great. Yeah. So yeah, there's the coup. There's a coup going on against Trump, and that's that's what this there's gossip of. But it's actually facts that are swirling.
Swirling facts.
Trump, bat signal, Robin. Poison Ivy.
I would like my facts Two-Face, in like a bulleted list.
Killer
like
Croc,
I don't want them to swirl. Riddler. That would be confusing.
Uh-huh.
Put them in a bulleted list.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
And if Alex is telling me that there are swirling facts, it's his job to grab them from the air and put them in a bulleted list for me. That's his job.
Yeah, yeah. That's what people who are conveyors of information do.
Yeah, that's the idea,
they
right?
They take information, they synthesize it, and they present it in a way that's useful.
So then I can use it.
Swirl. Swirling facts.
I'm just going to let those facts keep swirling.
Well, here's a fact that we have nailed down and put on a bulleted list.
All right.
Trump has a bat signal. And he's fired it.
Okay.
So
how
you
about
see
the
Trump firing the bat signal, as I said on Friday,
Alfred.
And telling the world that
Harlequin.
He may not be around for a while.
Mr. Freeze.
Okay.
Because of the huge enemies he has coming after him. He's talking about his government having to go underground during the attempt to encircle and burn down the White House. This is what funded groups are now publicly saying they're going to do.
That's an ICE reference.
This is serious. Or you'd be talking about seeing you in the afterlife in heaven. But it's very, very cryptic to get people's attention. And it's where we are because the talking point, even in the local paper today, and Austin would open it up, was, well, Trump is going to get arrested and thrown out of the White House by the military for not leaving office. And they're
Sounds
putting
right.
that idea out there so they can trick a group to run a military coup against him before the election. They'll say, oh, he was planning something dirty. They're just normalizing, oh, Trump's going to get killed or Trump's going to be arrested. It's everywhere. It's their main talking point.
So that's it. That's his narrative and his angle that he's coming with. People are talking about whether or not Trump is going to respect the results of the election, not because Trump keeps talking about 16 more years and things that are completely against the norms of our democracy.
Well, he would like to delay the election.
Certainly, there's been some talk of that from him, which Alex said that the Democrats were going to do.
That's
it turns
what the
out,
Democrats
oh, no, Trump did
do.
It.
Well, don't worry about it when Trump does it.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's not because of that stuff. It's because they are trying to normalize this discussion because they plan to coup him before the election.
Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like I want to shout this to everyone with any modicum of power. These people need to be treated like children. You cannot talk about what we should do with our democracy with these people. You need to be like, here's what we're going to do.
Mm.
You can sit down. Yes, they're violent children, but that's the only way to deal with this. You can't reason with them.
Yeah, I hear you, and I understand the point that you're making. I even have a trouble giving a prescriptive kind of answer the way that you are. You're saying treat them like children.
They're children.
Right, but I don't know if that would work.
We'll see.
You know, I don't know.
Give me supreme power and we'll figure it out.
Well, I don't know if I support that.
Pretty sure it's a good idea.
Even as a dear friend and business associate of yours, I don't know if I support your...
Look, I know, but I'm going to kidnap you and use your logic as a, nope. like a super villain. I'm going to keep you in a little tube.
Wait, what kind of tube?
I don't know.
Plants?
You are putting together a nice terrarium in
it's
there.
It's true. For,
I just
old Mantis house phone.
I'll scale it up.
You know what? That is true. I'm putting together this terrarium for old Mantis house phone. And
is it for him or is it for you?
It is very much like, what would I want if I was a mantis? I'd want some grass. I'd want some. I got little mini Easter Island heads because I think of that. That is something that evokes wonder. And I want this mantis to have natural curiosity about its surroundings.
Think about this, Dan. Think about this. I gain supreme power, and I give you those things. You never have to want for anything ever again, and then I come and consult you for advice.
I don't like this because then I don't want to be like an advisor pet. It's no good. You're doing a bad
job. Well, look, I could put you in a cage or we could put you in a terrarium.
You're doing a bad job of selling me on this. I think I have to work against you now.
I think
now.
The point of having a supreme leader is that I don't have to sell people on stuff.
Right. I guess if you're like cage or terrarium, I'll pick terrarium. obviously.
As your old, as a good friend of yours, Dan, I will give you the choice of cage or terrarium.
What a gracious supreme leader.
I am a great guy.
All right. I'll make sure this never happens. So, this is where things fell off the wagon for me.
Yeah.
That's a bad use of terms because Alex isn't drunk. This is where the wheels fell off the wagon.
Gotcha.
Just fell apart because I got really confused about this clip.
Austin, in the 90s, in hundreds of different forced purchases, bought, last time I checked, 300,000 acres. But just the Barton Creek Canyon area that runs right through the middle of Austin, from west of Austin, out of Ripping Springs, where you've got some areas, you know, 400-foot tall cliffs. That was hundreds of millions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money, billions total now paid out, and most of it was forced land taken, saying it's the Edwards Aquifer Recharge Zone and an environmental area, and it would always be free and open to the public. Well, who could police something like that? You can't. Well, now they propose charging you to go on there, and they've beefed up their code enforcers and their bureaucrats. But to do it, they need an excuse. Well, now they're saying COVID-19 and literal.
The whole plan makes sense now.
My wife, I already knew what was going on. I was planning to go over there, but my wife went with one of her friends hiking this morning, and the young women literally barked at her when they came up out of the trail because, you know, they're punk leftist SJW kids that work for the mayor and for Antifa and the UN and all the rest of it. They don't, you know, get up at 9 a.m. So my wife and her friend come hiking out of the Greenbelt, and they bark at them and say, "What are you doing? You got to register, and the park's full. You're not allowed to be in there." Now, you have to understand, on the biggest days, you go to the Greenbelt in areas that are more rural, like the place I was at, the Hill of Life is what the entrance is known.
This is a great story, by the way.
You might see somebody every 5 minutes when you're down there walking. That's on the weekend. Some areas by deeper water and where there's waterfalls and things, you might see 100 people.
What are we doing?
Is my grandma telling me this story?
What are
happening?
We doing? This show is so weird. On Friday, Alex is rambling about the NRA and interviewing Andrew Wakefield about vaccines.
Gotta get him.
Saturday, he's yelling about Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah!
And then on Sunday, he seems to be suggesting that COVID-19's a hoax in order to charge people to go to Barton Springs based on the fact that his wife got turned away.
There you go, Dan. It makes perfect sense.
This is such a good microcosm of Alex's taking personal issues and turning them into global things. Like, his wife had an inconvenience temporarily at a park. And now it's like, this is all about the land buys back in the 90s in Austin.
The whole thing. I knew it all along. I knew it all along. And it just clicked when my wife was temporarily bothered. With her friend, the yoga teacher, who heard some stuff.
No, I think it was tennis partner.
Oh, tennis partner. That's right.
I listened to that. And I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And Alex was promoting that he had like a video of himself going down there. And so I was like, I'm excited for that. I was blown away by this.
Really?
I haven't laughed this hard at something Alex has done in ages.
Okay.
It was very cathartic especially after listening to that Saturday show that was so distasteful.
Yeah.
To have something this pathetic and hilarious was a real palate cleanser.
Is he doing like a redux of the grotto or the, what is it? Yeah. But it's with nobody in there.
What happens is, without giving too much away, Alex's wife got turned away or something, got talked to, like, hey, you shouldn't need to, you know, park's full, whatever.
Sure.
That morning.
Right.
Then Alex goes back with a camera guy and tries to provoke a confrontation
with
a tiny bullhorn.
Oh my
god.
He's got a tiny bullhorn. He does not have a tiny bullhorn. He has a tiny bullhorn.
And so then he makes
how big? Hand size?
It's not big enough. it looks really small and funny.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. And so he just yells a bunch. And like all the people who were there are kind of like, God damn it. You could see them kind of just like looking at their phones.
Jesus.
And Alex just being a completely impotent weirdo screaming at people for no reason.
Here's my pitch on a new product. Mm-hmm. Tiny bullhorns that make your voice quieter.
Ooh.
See, now that I think is a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be a good prank gift.
Yeah. like a butterfly that shoots out.
Exactly. So Alex gets to talking about some COVID death discrepancies.
Sure.
And I honestly think that this is maybe one of the most important things that we could point out right now. Alex is dancing around a really dangerous line and actually crossing it sort of casually. And he better be really, really careful.
And they've put all these regular people that died of other things in the column. And you know all the rest of the story. 160,000 die in the U.S., most of them fake numbers from other things, car wrecks, gunshot wounds. There's a story out today. A 7-year-old boy died of COVID. He fell down in the shower, hit his head, had a seizure, and bled to death. And they did an instant rapid test, the ones that are almost totally fake, and said COVID. So they said on the news, he had no pre-existing conditions and died of COVID. He had no pre-existing until he hit his head and died. But that's... They even have fake people that didn't even exist saying they died. To create fear in all these gullible, stupid sheeple that love to be schmucks. Well, they're right back. Stay with us.
So Alex is lying about that 7-year-old that died.
Uh-huh.
This was a boy in Savannah, Georgia, who died approximately 2 weeks ago, but was included in the most recent state COVID-19 numbers. Alex is saying that the media is claiming that his death was COVID-related, but in actuality, he fell in the shower and hit his head. Alex is making that up. According to an August 8th article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the child, quote, had a fever-fueled seizure while in the bathtub and drowned. The article is pretty clear about the situation. The county coroner, Bill Wessinger, quote, cautioned that the full results of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation autopsy are still pending and may be a long time coming. But he said preliminary investigation suggests COVID-19 gave the boy a fever, which triggered a seizure that happened to occur while he was bathing. Alex is so invested in lying about COVID-19 that he's willing to make shit up about the circumstances surrounding a 7-year-old child's death. That sort of thing is absolutely disgraceful, and there's no excuse for behaving that way. Also, he might want to tread very carefully around the territory of, quote, fake people being used to create the image of death.
Why? Has that ever been an issue before?
That's very, very close to crisis actors talk. If I'm being honest, this is a really scary development in Alex's COVID narratives. His whole race-specific bioweapon stuff was dumb, and they're calling car crashes COVID stuff is dangerous and idiotic. But if he pursues this line of conspiracy much further, he's going to put thousands of people at risk. Both are stupid, but there's a distinct difference between conspiracies about COVID deaths being mislabeled COVID-19 and fake people being used to boost death numbers, and it's a line that should never be crossed without very good evidence and specific information. Before you cross that line, when it's just a matter of deaths being mislabeled, the villain is the nebulous globalists. It's the fat cats, the elites, the man. It's the people that the audience can shake their fists at but not really know who they're mad at, but it's enough for them to direct their impotent outrage somewhere. Alex can take that, direct it, then profit from their fears. Because it's real people dying, real families grieving, and then someone cheating a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Once you cross the line into the idea that it's fake people being used to boost death numbers, the victims and their families become possible villains, which is super dangerous. It's what we saw with Sandy Hook and why the crisis actor narratives there were so destructive. If you believe that the victims were actors, then you have to believe that the families were in on the whole thing and probably villains too. Alex suggesting that there are fake people being used to boost COVID-19 death numbers is him opening that door. And he better be super fucking careful, because he could fuck around and encourage a harassment campaign that's almost unfathomably large. The vagueness here is one of the largest problems. If Alex is asserting that there are fake people in the COVID death totals and doesn't speak very specifically about what names he's talking about and how he's verified that these aren't real people, he's introducing the idea to his audience that any of the names of victims they see could be fake people. Can you imagine a QAnon-type online community doing flawed-ass research into COVID deaths and then doxing people who are relatives of neighbors of people who they suspect of being fake COVID deaths? I couldn't imagine that a few years ago, but I can now. What Alex is doing here is the first step down that road. It doesn't mean that it necessarily will grow to that, but that happening this is the first step of it.
Yeah.
And it's reprehensible for him to behave this way, no matter what, but especially considering that he's currently being sued for doing exactly this as it relates to Sandy Hook. And he knows the effect that this kind of thing can have. He knows how he can re-traumatize people. He has every reason to fully understand the consequences of his actions, and yet he refuses to learn.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't do these sorts of narratives. You just can't. They're monstrous.
Yeah, I mean, we are at the space now where the default, though, is to assume that there's no bottom. The default is to assume that it will continue to escalate. I have a hard time believing that taking that first step doesn't mean taking all of the steps.
It's hard. Hard to say right now because, I mean, we're recording this on the same day that this episode was broadcast.
But right.
I don't know what he's going to do in the future, but like, you test that water and, you know, if there's no reason not to, why not start yelling about how there's all these fake deaths?
And that's
not even real people.
That's what so many people want to hear. That's what so many people want to hear. Mm-hmm. They want to hear that this is awful. Even if you're anti-mask or anything like that, you still have to admit that this is awful and you have to account for it in what you do. That's why you see Republican leaders being like, reopen schools. Some people are going to die. Just account for it. Just put it in our fucking numbers. But what people really want to hear is there isn't even a problem.
Well,
there is. The problem isn't that people are dying. The problem is that they're lying to us about it.
I think that people would love that. But I think it's unrealistic that anyone would ever really even accept that. What they can do is accept anything that takes things down a degree.
Yeah.
You know, you take things down just a little bit. It's like, well, yeah, people are dying, but it's less than you think.
Take the edge off.
Yeah, that somehow softens the blow.
Whoa, 150,000? No. It's 70.
Right.
See, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, and I mean, just, it's pointless, and it doesn't get anywhere in terms of like the narratives that Alex wants to push.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how this is productive, and I only see trouble that could come from it.
Yeah.
And I pray that it doesn't, because especially in the way that Alex has been escalating his violence in his narratives, and the way he's been talking about how the time may come that you got to take one for the team and take out these globalists. Like, okay, if there are fake dead people, do you not think that someone might put two and two together there and think, hey, I should maybe, you know, it, like the people, the Sandy Hook victims' families were harassed and had death threats sent their way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not outside the realm of the behavior that we've seen. Hey, and I'll quote Alex on this. Past behavior is the good indication of future performance.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, the scale of it is just astonishing. You know, with Sandy Hook, there's a limited, there's like a relatively limited number of people that you can harass. But with this, how many people haven't been touched by it in some way?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, everyone's a crisis actor.
Everyone's a crisis actor.
Yeah. So Alex is mad at Dr. Fauci, because of course he is. I've noticed that he's been complaining about one thing kind of in particular a lot in the past couple of days.
You've got to think of the vaccine as a tool to be able to get a pandemic to no longer be a pandemic, but to be something that's well controlled.
Well controlled.
Great rebuttal, buddy.
Cold. You're never leaving your houses again. You do what I say. And the guy can't even throw a pitch. He literally throw it 40 feet in the left field like he's some kind
of... Great rebuttal.
Everything he does is a fraud. Everything he does is a scam. He's Fauci the fraud. Fauci the fake. Fauci the effort.
He's been really obsessed with the pitch. First pitch.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it wasn't good.
It seems really reasonable to play a clip of a guy saying, don't worry about that. Look, I get what you're saying, but it's just a tool to get things under control.
Yeah.
That's hard to argue with.
Well, his but pitch sucked.
A man throwing a shitty pitch.
Real bad.
Are you not even manly enough to throw 85 down the pipe, 60 feet, 6 inches? How can I trust you with this vaccine information, Dan?
Typically, when you're like a 70-year-old doctor, head of a department, I don't expect you to pitch well. That's not usually like...
I don't know.
That's not in my list of qualifications I demand.
We should have a test for every federal employee. What kind of gun you got?
Cannon.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So Alex, he's a scaremonger. I can tell you that from listening to his show. He likes to scare people. He's kind of obsessed with it. Mm. But in this next clip, he explains that he is not a scaremonger.
Oh, okay.
Good. I want to say something that I only say every 6 months or so, but I want to make it super clear because it's really my ethos and what I stand for. I know it's what you stand for as well. I've been on air 26 years, and very early on, people would send me letters, and they'd say, you're scaring my wife, or you're scaring my brother, or my father, or my husband, or my son, and I wish you'd stop telling them all this stuff, because now they're obsessed with you, and you know, our life's changed, and why are you trying to scare my family?
So you understand why QAnon is a problem.
If I hear dogs barking at 2 a.m., this happened back when I was a kid, dog was barking, and the house next to us was on fire. And I was like 10 years old, and I got everybody up, and the fire department came. We watched the neighbor's house get put out. I wasn't being a fearmonger when the dog's barking and going crazy to get up and to go look out the window and the neighbor's
the
house
dog
had flames shooting out of the roof. I wasn't a hero either. I was like, good job, kid. Well, you could, you know, this could have gotten a lot worse because the neighbors didn't even know their house was on fire. Because they were asleep in the downstairs. They were old people. Some electrical fire. But people think, oh, Jones is a fear porn dealer. Yeah, he just, you know, likes to scare people.
He does. And here's what I like to say about that shitty, childish metaphor. I don't care whether or not Alex called the fire department when he was a kid and saved his neighbor's house. He might have, might not have, might be a lie. I don't care.
Don't care.
He's using this story to illustrate how he sees himself in the world. He's this kid who hears the dog barking and warns his neighbors that their house is on fire, thereby saving their house. It's a very simple thing. The fire is the globalists.
Yeah.
The house is the country.
It seems like he's never not the hero in his own story.
Always.
Always.
That's a great story if the house is on fire. But in reality, what Alex does metaphorically is hear a dog barking and he assumes that the house must be on fire. And then he insists that the house is on fire and that the fire marshal has secretly told him that the house is on fire. And you know what? Alex has seen stuff like this in the past and has all the telltale signs of the neighbors setting the fire themselves to scam insurance money.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The only information he has to go on is dogs barking. And the rest of the story is his infantile mind just writing this weird narrative in order to contextualize the dog barking in a way that fits the view of the world that he has, which is basically just from movies.
I would also argue another metaphor could be his neighbor's house is on fire and he's like, it's not on fire that much. Look at that other house over there that's not on fire. Let's all go talk to that house.
If he didn't like the first neighbor, then he might do that.
Look at that nice house over there. We don't even need to worry about the burning one.
When you metaphorically hear a dog barking, you should not assume that your neighbor's house is on fire, because there's a ton of reasons that a dog could be barking. For instance, my neighbor's dog barks whenever I come home and it hears my keys. When you metaphorically hear a dog barking, you should check to see if the house is on fire.
Mm.
This is the step that's missing from Alex's process, which is basically research. You're welcome to be worried that your neighbor's house is on fire, but you should check and then gather evidence other than, I heard a dog barking. Alex's metaphor doesn't work because in his work and his career as an anti-New World Order propagandist, he's been able to find a whole lot of instances of dogs barking, but there's never really been a fire. Even so, every time he hears a dog barking, he's certain that there's a fire, and you're an idiot if you don't believe him, based on his years of expertise in the fields of fire and canine studies. His career is all barks, no fire, and he sucks.
Yeah, and he harasses the neighbors into, you know, somebody shooting a hole in their door for covering up the fire.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
So this is funny. Alex lies, I don't know exactly what you call it, but when you swear to God and you're lying.
Blasphemy?
Yeah, I think that might be it.
Yeah.
As God is my witness, I've never consciously lied to anybody about politics and issues. Have I lied to a girlfriend I'm cheating on her and stuff like that? Hell yes, I have. I don't do that anymore and I repent of it.
Are we doing?
Well, you repented.
What are we doing here, Dan? Dan, what are we doing here? What is happening?
Alex has 100% intentionally lied about.
Yeah.
And I would be more worried if that statement was true. If all of the lies that we've heard him tell have been just like
unconscious lies,
or uncontrollable. If there were no,
if there were no purposeful lies, it would beggar credulity.
Yeah, it would be like, oh, you have that's a neurological condition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're in trouble. Yeah. You're in pain. You need help.
Well, because there's even just a lie that I view as intentional in this next clip. I assume that this is intentional. If not, then we can talk about what the implications of that are later, but he's rambling about Antifa, and then he starts talking about Garrett Foster, the guy who got killed in Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're a random person and you aim a gun at me, I'm going to kill you. This isn't LARPing. This isn't fantasy world where you're playing video games all day. This is the real world.
For you, it is.
And you've taken America's restraint as weakness, just like the guy that got killed in Austin a few weeks ago, pointing his guns at people at random checkpoints they set up. He said, oh, they're a bunch of wimps, bunch of pussies. He says, I'm going to go out and intimidate them. He goes, I like intimidating people. Yeah, well, you came up, you blocked the car, you beat on it, you pointed your gun at somebody, you died. He got shot 5 times in the chest. You were dead on arrival at the hospital. And now who's going to take care of your quadriplegic girlfriend? Not you.
Fuck you, man.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Wow.
At the end there. But also, it's a lie. Like, the part of where he's talking about, like, I like to intimidate people.
Yeah.
Alex has a video that he's played a bunch of times, and there's someone interviewing Foster earlier, and they were asking him why he was carrying.
Yeah.
And he explained that they had some friends who had gotten arrested, and so, like, their First Amendment was being encroached. And so the Second Amendment was being exercised.
Yep.
And the guy asks him, do you expect to have to use that?
Yeah.
And he said, if I run into any police, I won't need to use it. I would be dead.
Yeah.
The people who want to fuck with us are pussies, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to start anything.
Yeah.
He's not saying that he likes to intimidate people.
No.
This is Alex. I mean, that's an intentional lie. Or else it's just so subconscious for him, making up reality as he assumes it is, as opposed to how he knows it to be.
Sure.
Because he's seen the video. He's played it a bunch of times. He has every reason to know what what Foster actually said. But Alex's version of reality, his subjective experience, is experience to him as objective.
I think I have an experiment for this that I really think might be illuminating. I would really like
put Alex in a terrarium.
That would be great. That'd be fantastic. He'd be safe and he wouldn't be able to hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm. Tell him it's Barton Springs. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. No. What if he had to like sit down and just transcribe a video? Just like plain old, here, we're going to play you this video. All you need to do is write down what they're saying.
He would refuse to do it.
Like,
somehow.
I would like to see how he, what does he hear? What does he physically hear in his brain? Because it can't always be what people are saying.
It must not be. I mean, like, you wonder how much is accurate depictions that he provides. Like,
yeah.
I go in a grocery store and someone turns into a demon at me. It's like, are you just fucking around or do you actually experience that?
Yeah, yeah. Is that what you hear, you know?
The only thing that makes me think that he might actually hear or experience something close to that is that, like, he takes this video of something as concrete as Garrett Foster saying these things, and he has turned it into, I like to intimidate people.
Yeah.
And it should be, like, take all context away from it that this is a guy who's at a Black Lives Matter protest. Mm-hmm. It's a guy with a gun saying he's asserting his Second Amendment. Yes. Alex should be 100% on board with this.
Couldn't be more on board.
But because he's against the cause of whatever, he's like, no, he has a gun. He's trying to intimidate people.
Yeah.
It's nonsensical.
Oh, man.
It's very worrying and just disgusting. The idea of who's going to take care of your quadriplegic girlfriend, like, go fuck yourself.
That's so fucked up.
You piece of shit, man.
That's the type of shit that you only see in, like, a fucking Bond movie. Like, that's the level of psychopathy required to say that shit.
It's really a person devoid of empathy.
Yeah, no, there's nothing in there.
Yeah. The other thing too is that he's combining this Garrett Foster and his narratives about that Boogaloo Facebook group that were going to pull off these terrorist attacks that never ended up happening. And so he's combined those two. He's saying that Foster was a part of that, but there's no indication that that is the case.
Great.
And so you should go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you lying piece of shit.
Now, Alex has a big scoop before we get into this really fun trip to the park.
He's got a big scoop.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is the play. There'll be other plays, but we have the enemy playbook. You know, like we were the coach of the Patriots, and we've got it. I mean, we have the playbook. I've proven we have the playbook. It's here. It's here. And they go on to say, Miss Clinton had, but Mr. Podesta playing Biden shocked the organizers by saying he felt his party wouldn't let him concede. Alleged voter suppression, he persuaded the governors of Wisconsin and Michigan to send pro-Biden electors to federal college. In that scenario, Colorado, California, Oregon, Washington then threatened to secede from the United States if Trump took office as planned. The House named Mr. Biden president. The Senate and White House stuck with Trump. At that point, the scenario, the nation stopped looking to the media for cues and waited to see what the military would do. And that's why they're getting ready for that. That's what they're wargaming. That's the plan. This isn't rumor swirling. It's treason swirling. Ah! Ah!
Bigger. Bigger.
Silver is the nature's very own enemy.
That is so sad. Just like, I'm right out of breath.
We're just doing a lot of guttural noises on the show recently.
Yeah, so there was a New York Times article about some war games exercises, you know, sort of like working through scenarios that a bunch of people, bipartisan, like a bunch of different folks, they engaged in this sort of exercise. That came out like early August, and at the end of July, there was already an article about this in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Like this isn't some kind of weird secret thing, but one of the scenarios they ended up playing out was one in which, John Podesta played Biden and he doesn't concede.
Uh-huh.
And so they end up, that's one of the scenarios.
There was
a number of different scenarios. Uh-huh. And this is the one that Alex is fixating on and being like, this is what they're going to do.
Right.
It's all such nonsense.
The one where Trump wins and everybody's fine. He doesn't deal with that, war games. The one where Biden wins and everybody's fine. He doesn't deal with that, war games. The only thing that he can fixate on is the most dramatic, almost cinematic version of events.
Yeah, the one that fits into his narratives.
Yeah.
So, now take you to Barton Springs. Alex Jones.
His
wife has been kicked out or something.
Bastards!
Inconvenienced in some way.
A response?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to pull over near my house, this place called Hill of Life, that's about a quarter mile hill, and I used to go down into the Green Belt from there. And you'd probably have 50 to 100 cars parked out there on a Sunday morning. There are like 10 cars today, and they were turning back all these families from San Antonio, you name it, that came up here to go on the Green Belt and the big, beautiful creek that's down there right now. Totally sick, ladies and gentlemen. But the good news is, we'll post this to Band.video. We're premiering it right now. It's not even posted yet. We're going to premiere it right now. That the police said, this is unenforceable. There isn't even a law. And they said we shouldn't have college kids down here enforcing this, and they shut them down.
Da-da.
Shut him down.
Alex has racked up a victory against the globalists.
Taught those fucking college kids a lesson.
Yeah.
So, first the college kids, then the world!
Yeah. So now Alex goes to a special report about his trip to Barton Springs.
God damn it.
That has some of the worst voiceover. Like, I know that we've talked in the past, like way back, about how bad John Bowne is at voiceover.
Oh, truly terrible.
There's another guy in town named Greg Reese, and he sucks even more.
Okay.
Austin City Mayor Steven Adler is attempting to seize control. He has erected makeshift registration booths at park entrances and hired lifeguards who have lost their jobs as a result of the COVID shutdown.
I'm really vibing to this
reservations
music.
And register the names of anyone who enters. It's been going on all over the nation for decades. The United Nations Agenda 21.
Wait,
powerful
what?
Entities
I'm not worried about it.
Seizing public lands from
still
the
vibing.
People for their own private gain. 10 park entrances have been set up like this by the Austin Parks Department. It is unlawful. It is nothing more than the edict of radical leftist Mayor Adler. A power grab.
This is just so sad.
Man, who produced that? I want to know who produced that music, because they can't possibly be aware.
It's a royalty-free track.
They can't possibly be aware.
It's probably Buckley.
Yeah. Alex's
cousin Buckley could have done some DJing for
him. That's not bad. Seriously, I did not hear much of what he said. I was just really... like, there was the break there where they switched it.
Maybe Leo Zagami did it.
The snare, man. The snare, when the snare kicked in, it's good stuff. I like a well-programmed snare.
The bottom line is that Greg Reese believes that Agenda 21 is being enacted.
It's finally time.
The Parks Department has put people up at the parks, so this is unlawful
and
unconstitutional.
Who's doing Agenda 21?
The lifeguards.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be the president who's doing Agenda 21?
No, it's the UN through the lifeguards.
Oh, those fucking lifeguards.
Yeah, the lifeguards work for UN.
The UN has got the goods on the lifeguards.
Yeah, so Alex gets to yelling, of course, with his tiny little bullhorn.
Tiny bullhorn.
At this point, he just has the bullhorn in his hand, and it's like, this is so pathetic. Like, you came down here specifically, like, you brought your bullhorn.
No, he brought his backup bullhorn. he brought his travel bullhorn, Dan. It's like a travel toothbrush. It's a little smaller. It fits in your back pocket.
It's a really sad display.
Don't forget your towel, Dan, it's
pathetic. Yeah. You know, it'd be one thing if he was going about his business and then he had this interaction that happened organically. But as it is, he's walking really fast, past these people who are set up outside this trail entrance.
Sure.
And he has a tiny bullhorn in his hand. It's just like he's begging them to say something.
Please.
You have a pass. I've been coming here since I was in high school and college. And now you guys use your COVID hoax to, like, set a checkpoint up so you can take over the parks and start charging. It's unconstitutional.
Started hot.
Yeah.
Started already going
really
at
out
them.
The gate. Yeah.
This is not even a city ordinance. This is a illegal power grab of the people's Greenbelt, and it's time to free Austin. So are you guys volunteers for the city of Austin? Who are you, masked man?
I'm a lifeguard for Barton Springs.
You're a lifeguard for Barton Springs, now part of the criminal power grab.
Damn it.
This is outrageous criminal activity.
There's a small part of me that wonders if this is a joke. Like, it's obviously not. He's taking this very, very seriously.
He's taking it really seriously.
But it's almost a
parody. This is the funniest thing he's ever done.
Absolutely.
His jokes are horrendously bad, but this is great.
And I gotta be honest, like, there are very few things that I would recommend people watch. Watch this for the tiny bullhorn. It made me laugh really hard.
Here's what I keep picturing.
Alex is like covered in sweat by the end of it with a tiny bullhorn.
I just keep picturing the scene in The Sandlot where they're at the pool and the girl lifeguard gives him mouth to mouth. And right before he gives him mouth to mouth, just somebody with a bullhorn runs up and is like, who are you? This is a gross joke. The mask is bullshit.
Mr. Mask Man.
Oh, man. Yeah. What a I'm a lifeguard for the.
So this is where it gets personal. And Alex yells at everybody about how his wife wasn't
with
allowed.
With a tiny bullhorn.
Tiny bullhorn.
It is all color of law garbage. My wife came here this morning when you cult member Kooks showed up here.
There is.
What a petty bullshit.
There is no crowd that you can see. There is maybe one other person there who's like taping this on their phone.
I'm going to put this on my phone for sure.
The rest of the people who are like sitting in beach chairs or whatever are just sitting. One girl's like looking at her phone. It's ridiculous.
All right, buddy. Okay.
And you ask her, where's her reservation? Her reservation is that we live in a free country. We live in America.
This is a little much.
Dialogue. This is the new Die Hard movie. That's what I'm doing with this one right here.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh man.
Wow. So
wife's reservation is this is a free country. Mm-hmm. I'm using that at the next Chicago restaurant I go to.
Absolutely. Yeah, go 100%. To a steakhouse.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Get a tiny bullhorn, get a good table, move on with my life.
So at this point, a family from San Antonio shows up and they get turned away.
Oh, no.
But thankfully, Alex steps in. Hero.
While we were there, a family from San Antonio arrived to enjoy the day in the park. After an hour drive, they were turned away.
Look at these poor people. Hey, it's all unconstitutional. It's all illegal. If I want to go in here, the city ordinance isn't even a law. I want to march down here. I can't. Don't listen to them. Don't sit at the back of the bus. Don't believe their COVID hoax. Get down there and enjoy yourself. Are these people will take everything you've got.
The gentleman from San Antonio spoke to the Austin police and was told that there is no law. The police allowed the family to enjoy the park as the law permits.
Come on, everybody. The police told you it's open.
We're taking the park. Over the hill, men. We take the park at dawn.
Neighbors, there is no reason for a bullhorn. I can't stress that enough. Everyone could hear him. There was not like a huge crowd or just talking. People could hear him. Undoubtedly. It's comical.
I believe it.
So Alex is a little bit out of breath here.
Sure.
And
his stamina is not what it used to be.
Certainly not. But I think that he realized like, well, I've got to make a scene. I've successfully got this San Antonio family into the park. And now,
chalk it up in the wind column.
I'm gonna grandstand for a crowd of nobody.
Okay.
And the very city that says blow up the police department, the very city that says blow up the police department, and that we don't need the police, has them out here trying to. Not the cops aren't even doing it, but has them out here so the lifeguards can tell you that you can't go down there.
I think Alex realized right in the middle there that this narrative doesn't work for what happened because the police sided with the San Antonio
family.
That
is an issue. That is an issue.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the... Where am I going with this? I'm mad at lifeguards right now.
Is that what I'm doing? Okay, so Austin, as a city,
yes.
Is going to blow up the police station.
Indeed it is.
And they have the police out here doing something that... Wait, I like what they're doing out here. How do I do this?
I'm going to blow up the lifeguard station.
All right. I just think that was a lack of preparedness on his part.
This is not going the way he expected it to go, I don't think.
So there's a few more people now, but you can hear there's no like cheering or anything.
No.
And that's because there is an absence of people. But there's a few. And Alex now at this point tries to get people to bum rush.
Yep. Totally.
The park.
Guys, you ought to just go on in. It's all color law. It's all garbage. We have to stop submitting at some point. COVID-19 is a power grab hoax. COVID-19 is a scam. Is that your IQ? One finger?
So what happened there is someone walked past his camera and flipped him off.
Yeah. Nope, that one's easy to guess.
Yep. Not going great, this field piece.
Nobody's raising their hand with a pointer finger out going like, excuse me, question.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, what I find really interesting about this is that this is very sad and a real bummer. It's very clearly like a personal gripe that he's turning into a, okay, maybe I can make a story out of this.
Yeah, not good.
But on another level, it's kind of, narrative completion. Like,
yeah,
he started his career a guy alone yelling into a bullhorn about nonsense on the streets in Austin with no crowds around.
Yeah.
And now he goes back to Barton Springs because his wife was asked if she had a reservation and no one cares.
This is a behind the music if I ever
people
heard
don't care. It seemed like no one gave a shit.
No.
But Alex is working himself up into a sweat with a tiny little bullhorn.
Yeah.
And just like, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever, it doesn't have the cachet anymore.
No one's fighting him like he wants them to. Uh-huh. It's just like, all right, dude, just do what you're gonna do.
Yeah, come on, man.
So Alex comes back after this video. He gets a little bit wistful about some of his memories about this trail.
I've been going to the Greenbelt since I was a little kid. I didn't know about that place till college. And, man, I've walked down that with quite a few nice girls for a picnic by the creek. Had some good times there. It's got to be, 28 years? 29 years? I'm old now, man. God, I believe I was in college 29 years ago taking girls down there. Now I woke. I mean, if you told me this back then, I thought you were a crazy person.
Pretty sure you thought everyone was a crazy person.
And it illustrates everything. All right, there's a lot of other news we didn't have time to get to. The crew points out that if I don't plug products, we won't be here. These are really great products.
So, yeah, I didn't have a lot of time to get to some of these important news stories. Had to have this petty grievance with the with
man,
the creek.
Man, my wife, she drove over a pothole, and now her axle's a little bit loft, a little bit off. And I went to the city council, and I explained to them what was going on, and I realized that they are destroying the roads on purpose in order to institute Agenda 21 to defeat us all, and that's the roads.
I mean, you remember when he got that DUI, and he decided he was going to go on a crusade about people who unjustly get DUIs?
Yes.
That went fucking nowhere.
How did it go?
Nowhere.
No, I'm pretty sure he won.
Didn't bring it up again.
I haven't gotten a DUI since then, so great. Obviously he's right.
Yeah, he hasn't brought it up since. His campaign against people not being let in parks is just about his own personal problem that day. This is all just such rank projection.
Man, the most
it's pretty hilarious though, just because how impotent this field piece is.
Yeah, that's not
good. I needed that really badly. It made me laugh so hard. The look, the bullhorn is too small for an adult, and Alex is a thick adult, so it's way too small for him. If it's a manifestation of like downsizing and like cutting expenses at InfoWars, then it's hilarious, because like this couldn't crush any kind of tyranny. This thing is a tiny bullhorn.
Tyranny under crusher. All right. Okay. So it's your first day. I know you're all 14 and 15, but on the first day, of course, now we have to practice what you would do if a large man with a tiny bullhorn accosted you.
Mm-hmm.
It's state required now. That picture of Alex Jones up there, we keep that just to remind us what exactly it looks like and who it is who will be yelling at
legit,
you.
Legit, the only large man with a tiny bullhorn in the greater Austin area.
I wouldn't say the only man.
Certainly.
The only man willing to use it the way it was meant to be used.
He's a patriot.
You know, he's a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get a tiny bullhorn? And when you get a tiny bullhorn, do you think that was a good purchase?
It makes me think that he has like 100 of them.
An array of bullhorns.
No, just 100 of those tiny ones everywhere.
Oh, 100 of the tiny ones.
Yeah.
See, I imagine now like he's got a whole like Roger Federer with tennis rackets. Like he's got them lined up and he's like, "Oh, this one is for the high tension things, the big bullhorn.
This one displeases small me."
Yeah, exactly. News radio. Yeah. Love it.
I imagine, here's what I imagine, quite honestly.
What do you imagine? You imagine they're hit everywhere?
First of all that.
Yes.
But then, he's,
there's one in the glove box.
One in the, the visor, the sun visor the car. Yeah. He pulls that down.
Yeah.
Bullhorn falls out.
Of course.
What the image that I had was he opens his passenger door and like 50 come falling out. That was the image that I have.
How about
just that? Got a bunch of tiny ass bullhorns.
I pitch you this. It's like in the movies, you know, where the guy's got the gun. He's sitting behind the desk, and underneath the desk, Alex pulls out the bullhorn that he's got taped to the desk, fights back.
Here's the scene I'm writing.
Okay.
So, if we're doing like an office, the office kind of thing,
but it's about
Alex's workplace.
Okay.
He's like, "Hey, Rob, I got to go out and got talking to to Barton Springs. Got to go bullhorn him. Bring me Tyranny Crusher." And then Rob's like, "Well, you know, we've had to cut expenses around here. This is all we've got. I can't work with this. This is a tiny little bullhorn."
All right. Okay.
Alex, you can make it work.
And then David Knight mugs to the camera.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then it's done. Alex is all sweaty. And he's like, "I wish I had a bigger bullhorn.
Oh, man. He's in everything now.
Yeah, it's mixing.
He's in news radio. He's in The Office. And he's in Curb Your Enthusiasm all at the same time.
Nothing of those shows is funnier to me than Alex with that tiny bullhorn.
Why
now, granted,
would you carry a tiny bullhorn? I don't understand it, Dan.
I don't know.
I wish that he would stop imagining that his petty grievances had importance outside of himself.
Yeah, that would be smart.
Well, we should wrap this up, Jordan, but I just heard some thunder.
Yeah.
You got an interesting...
It's going to be a good walk home.
I wish you the best with that.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
If you need a ride, you should call 1-773-TAT-GUYS.
Get out of here. Tat Guys.
Taxi service.
Tat Guys.
Tat Guys Taxis.
Tat Guys Taxis.
No, don't do that. Please. We'll be back. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight. And at go to bed, Jordan.
Yep. We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You download right iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out with people doing God's work.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus. I'm Alex's tiny bullhorn.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.